Gosh, Jean, come forward and bring our reading to us.
Blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, through his blood, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory.
Thanks, Jean. So as what often happens to me is I preach a sermon one week, thinking it's just going to be a one-off, and then it turns into a series. So if you weren't here last week, I'm going to encourage you to go online, if you haven't already, and check out last week's message. And I'm just going to recap slightly on that and then take us forward into some new truths this morning. And so last week we were looking at Jesus at the temple and how Jesus, when he was about 12, he was found in the temple teaching in that place, sharing with the teachers of the law, and he got lost to his parents. His parents come and find him there, and he says to his parents, "Oh, what do you think I'll be doing? Of course I'll be in my father's house." And we see this point in time recorded where Jesus transitions from being a boy, growing up under his mother and his father, to being suddenly someone who steps into being a son of the God Most High. He steps into his inheritance as being a child who is divine. He steps into the Father, God, being his spiritual father as well as his actual father. He steps into that reality. And we compared that with when you turn to 1 Samuel. And in 1 Samuel, we had a story of Samuel, who is this boy who is born miraculously to Hannah, and he is dedicated to God in the temple. And he grows up away from his parents in the temple. And it talks of him about how he was divinely favored by God. And he had a calling from God which was so strong that he led the people of God, that he led the people of Israel for years and years and years. We looked at the contrast, though, between their family upbringing, between Jesus, who had a secure family life, who stepped into his inheritance of God, but Samuel, who had basically a pretty messed up family life growing up, where it says that only he saw his parents only once a year. And it says that once a year, his mother would come and see him and bring a robe that she had made for him for that year. And what happened was, in Samuel's life, is that although he was divinely called by God, although he ministered and did things for God, he had an insecurity problem. And his robe became something which he was identified by. That robe that his mother made, that last robe that she made before she died, was his last link to his mother, but also the link to his weird childhood and upbringing. And that became his identity going forward. And there's two stories in the book of Samuel, in the first book of Samuel, later on in Samuel's life, where first of all, Saul, who's king of Israel, he tears that robe and it causes Samuel to turn around and curse him with a prophecy about his kingship. And then later on, there's a story where Saul has conjured up the spirit of Samuel, and it says that he was identifiable by the robe that he wore. See, everyone knew Samuel had this robe that represented his mother, represented his weird life, and it became what identified him. And the scriptures are full of stories of saying, we need to take off the clothes, as we heard this morning read, of an identity which is not the identity we're called to live in. Samuel, although he was called of God, although he was living as a favored person of God, still had insecurities and problems that need to be resolved and sorted out. It's okay to be messed up, but it's not okay to let that be your identity. And too many of us live with an identity that is not what God would have us live under. It could be being a failure. It could be always striving to try and better what you've done before. It could be, I was an only child. I didn't have any brothers and sisters. I had too many brothers and sisters. I was lost in the middle of all that family. It could be, I didn't have a father. I didn't have a mother. I didn't have any parents at all. There could be a whole number of things that we can use to say, oh, that's my identity. I had a friend of mine a few years ago. I was talking to her, and she said, she had this profound moment in her life. She lost her dad quite young, growing up. And she said, my identity was always, I'm the girl who lost her father. And she said, I used that to get the way that I wanted things to go. I'd use it as an excuse. I'd use it as an identity to go, oh, I haven't got a father. And although that was true, and the pain of that was very real for her, it suddenly became an identity that she lived in, to use it for her own gain when it suited her, but also it became something negative that she carried. She wasn't known for who she was. She was known as the girl who didn't have a dad. And you are called by name, the Bible says. Not by the things that have happened to you. You're called by name. And so the scriptures try to tell us the fact that God wants to call you by name, and by doing that, he's saying, you, as you, are important to me. And the scriptures are full of God saying, I love you. I love you. And God wants to show us that love. He wants to impart that love into our life. And he wants to take off that robe that we've been identifying ourselves with, the thing that's been shaping us, the thing that's been our identity. And he wants to put on a new cloak, a new robe. And if you turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, there's a story of the prodigal son. And in the story of the prodigal son, the son, who's loved by the father deeply, runs away. He takes on a new identity. He goes and parties it up and lives it large and has this great, in his mind, wonderful life for a time. And suddenly he gets to a realization that actually, he's not loved by anyone. He's not loved. And he goes back to his father with the intention of saying, my identity now is someone who's failed. His intention is to go back to the father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. Can I be one of your servants? See, he chooses an identity for himself based upon what he's done, upon his situation and circumstances. But when he gets close to the father, he tries to say those lines of, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against earth, and sort of give his little story to try and become a servant in the household. And the father shuts him up. And he wraps, it says, a robe around him. A cloak around him. And what a cloak represented was it represented the authority of the person who was in charge of the land. It represented the family name. It represented the authority. It represented the fact that he was the son of the father. And so we can come to God and go, oh God, I've done this again, or oh God, this is my situation, or this happened to me. And God says, shh, shut up. Don't say that over yourself. How dare you create an identity for yourself that is not the one that I want to give you? Don't let someone else put identity on you, and don't put identity upon yourself that isn't from heaven. Because the father says, I am the one who's made you, and I am your dad, and I want to declare over you the truth of who you are, the fact that you are a child of God, and that you are loved by the Father. And he says, take off that cloak like Samuel had of your insecurities, take off that cloak which isn't true, and step into being wrapped in the arms of embrace of the robe of the Father, who says, I love you. See, what happened was, by the Father wrapping the robe around the Son, he covered his shame. And said, the things that you think shape you, the things, the shame, the guilt, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, all those things, he says, no, I wrap you in something new, which has the power to eclipse all of those things if you'll let it. And as Christians, we are called to step into the truth of who we are called to be, that we are called to be children of God. It says in Isaiah 61, verse 10, it says this, if we can have it up on the screen. It says, I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in the robes of righteousness. It's saying the story of the gospel is a God who you can be overwhelmed with joy before, because he's saying he has brought the clothing of salvation. So that you're saved from your sins. You're saved from all that worry, anxiety, identity problems. All those things can be transformed because the Father drapes a robe of righteousness around you and says that you are not called a sinner. You are not called someone who is the identity of ... that you've spoken over your life or others have spoken over you. He says, but you are someone who is righteous. You are someone who is good. You are someone who is loved. The reading we've just had from Ephesians 1, 3 to 14 speaks to us of various truths that we have being in the inheritance of being children of God. That when you put your faith and your trust in Jesus and you declare him as Lord and Savior over your life, it's saying there's various things that then become true for you when you wrap that robe of righteousness around you. You see, the Son, when he runs back to the Father in the story of the prodigal son, not only is the robe wrapped around him, but they have a massive party for him, and he then receives back again an inheritance. It wasn't like he came back and the Father went, it's nice to have you home, I'll have a party, but now, on your way. He comes back, and they kill the biggest calf they've got. There's an abundance. It's incredible. And we've been looking at Ephesians in our small group on a Thursday afternoon in our small group. And we've been looking at how the Father, in Ephesians, it's talking about how you're so rich. That you are rich in the gospel. That you are rich and wealthy in the blessings of God. You see, the gospel is often described as being like, we are in debt to God because of our sin. Every time we do something against the will of God, it's like we pay out of an account that we can't afford to keep. It's like we're in debt. And the cross isn't about just paying off our debt. The cross is saying your debt is paid, but more than that, you've been given an entire inheritance. See, you've got to think of when you become a Christian and the robes of righteousness are wrapped around you, it's like what would happen if tomorrow you received £1 billion? If you received £1 billion tomorrow, that would change your life. What would happen is worries would probably go away. Things that you've longed to have, you think, that's possible now. That holiday home in Marbella. No, it's... But just think about how having £1 billion, if it was given to you tomorrow, how that would change your life. The freedom it would give you. The ability to do things and move about and have access and freedom. And the gospel is saying, you've not had your debt paid off. It's like you've been given £1 billion. You've been given the entirety of the storehouse of heaven. You've been given everything of heaven is now at your disposal. That's pretty epic. That's pretty massive. So I've just put down here some of the key ideas in that first passage about Ephesians. Are some of the truths that we step into when we are clothed in righteousness. These are truths that the scriptures tell us. That we have received every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. Not just some. Everyone. Every spiritual blessing is ours. That we are deeply loved. And that's something we have to get our heads around, is that we are loved by God. And that's what last week was all about, saying we need to understand the love of the Father. That the Father heart of God for us is so strong. He wants you to live in love and live in the security of his love, not in the insecurity of a robe that you cling to, of a long lost love of your parents, or of a long lost love of whatever else it might have been in your life. He wants you to live in the reality of love. You are highly valued. Your life has a value to it. God hasn't made you by accident. You are here for a reason and a purpose. You have a value in your life. You're totally forgiven. Totally forgiven. Past, present, and future. Every sin you're going to commit in the future has already been paid for and sorted out and dealt with. It's like, whoa. Wow. I haven't got to live with guilt or worry, because every sin is paid for. Even when I mess up again and again and again, God's grace is still there saying, you're forgiven. The cross still stands. You're free from sin. I am a child of God. We've been singing it today. I am a child of God. And why that's so important to get your head around the idea of being a child of God, because it's saying, he is like our Father. As we looked in the prayer series we've just done before Christmas, we come to God as a loving Father, not as a God who is far away, who's unapproachable, but a God who is our Father and our Dad who we can come to. And it's like any parent longs to do. A parent longs to give good gifts to their children, the Bible says. If you're a parent here, I'm sure you love to give good things to your children. You want the best for them. And so when you understand that you're a child of God, you're saying, God is for me, not against me. So he's there going, well, today you got 5 out of 10 marks for your Christian faith. Today, you got only 4. It's not that. He's saying, oh, come on, go for it. You can do this. He's enjoying walking with you every day in your life. He's not there grumpy with you. He's there wanting the best for you. And it grieves him when we don't acknowledge him in our lives or when we make silly mistakes. He's like, oh, don't do that. But he gives us the freedom to do that. Just like any parent has to watch their children often make choices that they wouldn't have them make. But that's a parent. But as a parent, you're always for your children. You're never against them. You want the best for them, even when they mess up. So God is saying, he is for you. So when you're a child of God, you understand that God is Father. He wants to give you good gifts, and that he is for you, not against you. It says, oh no, go back. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God lives now in me. When you become a Christian and you put on the clothes of righteousness, the Spirit of God lives in you. And it says in the Word that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of love. And so if you're struggling to understand the love of God in your life, pray for more of the Holy Spirit to indwell in your life, to fill you. Because the Spirit of God is the Spirit of God's love. Because God is love. And he wants to fill you with his love. He wants to say, you are a place of a dwelling place of my love and my Spirit. He says, I'm a messenger of the King, that as we receive the righteousness, as we receive the righteous robes of Jesus, so we are called to share that righteousness and that love and that abundance with the world. I am the praise of his glory. It says that when we live this life for him, it says that we bring glory to God. That when we step into the inheritance of being children of God, when we say, I am loved by the Dad of heaven, it's like God says, oh, it's like you bring worship to me. That when you call him Father, when you call him Daddy, when you come before him and you say, oh, you're just my dad and I'm your child, it brings him glory. He loves that. He loves when you come to him just like little children. He says, I am complete. I don't need anything more than God in my life. Because in him, I am rich. I have received so much. There is an abundance of what God is doing. So we go to the next slide. So Ephesians is about being rich. The whole book of Ephesians is saying, you have this huge inheritance. You have this huge, huge inheritance that God loves you, and it's like he's given you loads of stuff. So step into and walk into this truth. And when you go to Ephesians chapter 3, 14 to 21, Let me find it now. A passage that we probably hear quite often, but just hear this. And for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power to go with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It's saying there's a direct correlation as a Christian between you being empowered in your life and having power in your life to do things for God and being rooted in his love. Which is why I've been talking for the last year about being deeply rooted. Because if you don't understand the love of God, you'll never ever be able to do mission well. It's as simple as that. If you don't get love, if you don't get the power of God's love in your life, you'll never really care about sharing your faith and you'll never ever impact the world. Because it's saying that when you understand that you're part of the family of God, and that he's our dad, and you recognize that the riches that comes with, because you're clothed in righteousness, he says you then know that love. Be deeply rooted in that love, and establishing that love, knowing that you are loved by God, says then you have power to know what God's doing. Then you can imagine and ask God for things in a way that has power. Okay? Why is that important? Well, here's where we're going to flip back to the whole cloak thing again. So if you go to Matthew's Gospel, in Matthew 6:6, it says this. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. Now, in Israel, back in the Old Testament, God gives the command for every person to have a shul, a prayer robe. Okay? And it says that they had to do certain things to it. It had tassels on them for various reasons, which we'll talk about next week. And this prayer shul was to be a symbol and a sign that you were someone who was from Israel. And what happened was, when you prayed, what you do is you would, yep, that's good. You had prayer shawl, and it was basically meant a little tent or a little tabernacle. And what you'd do when you came to pray is you'd take your prayer robe, and you might have seen it on pictures of Jewish people doing this, take the robe, and what they do is they put it over their head, and what they're doing is they're creating a room, a tabernacle, a little space, a private, intimate meeting place between God and them. Just like Moses had the tent of meeting, the place where he would go to encounter God, the prayer shawl, the robe that they use, is a symbol and sign that they were children of God. They would cover themselves in it, and in that place they found intimacy and a place of meeting between them and God. So when it says in Matthew, when you pray, go into your room, it's saying go into your little tabernacle. Clothe yourself in the robe of God. Clothe yourself in the righteousness, in the identity of being a child of God. Go into that secret place, and in that place, there is power to move mountains. That when you identify with who you are, when you step under the identity and the cloak and the robe of righteousness, out of that comes the power of prayer. So saying you cover yourself in the robe of God, in the love of God. You cover yourself in the truth of who you are. You see, the cloak represented the law of Moses. So they cover themselves with the truth of the law. We don't do that. We cover ourselves with the truth of grace. Jesus is the fulfillment of that law. And so we cover ourselves. And when they put on this prayer shawl and create this place of intimacy, what they do is they kiss it. And they have these words written on the robe. It says, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commended us regarding the commandments of fringes, which we'll talk about next week. What they'd do is they would kiss that bit of the robe, which had that word on it, cover their head to create this place of meeting place, this place of intimacy between them and God, covering themselves in the truth of who God is, the righteousness of God. And they pray out of that place, out of the identity that they had before God. See, when we pray out of the identity of your experience or your limited expectation, when you pray out of a place of your brokenness and your identity which is not true, when you come to pray, you'll only ask in accordance with that experience. It has no power because it's not a true identity. Thinking, when you come to pray, remind yourself of who you are in Christ. Cover yourself. This isn't a prayer shawl. This is my vague attempt at a prayer shawl, just to give you a visual illustration. It's saying, when you come to pray, create a place where you come before God in a secret place. Cover yourself with the grace of God. Step into the identity that you have as a child of God. And that out of that place of love, out of that place of security, that's when you then have power to pray a mighty prayer. Too many of us pray out of our identity rather than being out of the identity of being a child of God. And it says here in Ephesians that when we pray out of the identity of being a child of God, rooted in his love, then it says that he can do exceedingly abundantly above anything you can ask or imagine. Why? Because you're not coming to God with a limited expectation of your experience. You're coming to God and saying, I'm a child of God and the whole of heaven is open to me. Because I'm a child of God. I have the full inheritance. The Bible says I'm a co-heir with Christ. So whatever is true for Christ is true for me. Whatever the Father thinks of Jesus, that's how he views me. And so when you come to prayer, what happens is you're creating a space, which is the space of heaven. That word room there in the Greek, do you know what it means? It means treasury. Or it was kind of the storehouse. So it's saying that when you come into that place of intimacy, when you stand in your identity and you go into that secret place of intimacy between you and God, what you're doing is you're covering yourself in the truth of who you are, and you're basically entering into the storehouse of heaven, where everything is available to you as a child of God. And so when I view heaven like this. Heaven is like an Amazon warehouse, with good gifts waiting to be dispatched. It's not a place with fluffy clouds. I see it like this. With everything available to you. Waiting. And saying, because you are a child of God, it's possible to have access to the whole storehouse of heaven. And when you know that to be true, it gives you a confidence in your walk with Jesus. It gives you a truth that you can stand in and go, you know what? Even when I face difficulties, that truth is true. The Bible says that when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, and if you rely on the Father, he will provide for every need according to your riches in Christ Jesus. What's that? Your righteousness. It's your robe. According to your righteousness, according to the thing that you identify as, according to you being a child of God, so that is the riches in Christ. So when we come to pray, it's a storehouse waiting to be tapped into. But it comes out of that intimacy of relationship between us and the Father, saying, I am rooted in love. Because I know that I am called and chosen by God. And I will not find identity in what has happened to me. I will not find identity in the things that have shaped my life up to this point. I'm going to find identity in how God sees me. And in that place, I have the ability to see God do things over and above what I can ask or imagine. Just think of that. The biggest thing you can imagine, God says, I can do more than that. Whoa! So the reason we struggle as a church with mission is because we haven't grasped the fact that we are clothed in righteousness and that we have the ability to ask God for whatever we want to. It's still up to him to decide whether he gives it to us or not. As every parent knows, just because a child wants doesn't mean to say it's the right thing for them. But we can handle that when we say, God's my dad. He's not being mean to me when I don't get the things that I'm asking for. He's being a good father. So when we realise that we have the whole storehouse of heaven available to us, when we start thinking about reaching out to the world, it's going, well, that's not a problem, is it, really? Because all of heaven is available to me in that mission and that task. Which is why Jesus says to the disciples, take nothing with you for the journey. And he says, take only one cloak. Don't take another identity with you. Take just the identity that I've given you and go on mission. Don't say it's an interchangeable robe where you kind of think, well, today I'm going to be this robe and this day I'm going to be this. It's no. Take only one robe. Take only one cloak for that journey of mission. Because when you're covered in the righteousness of God, you have such a power. Which is why the enemy hates it when we get the truth that we are loved by God and that he is a good father. Because when we understand that truth, it releases the power of heaven. Whoa. So the question I want to leave us with today is this. Does your cloak, whatever it is you're wearing this day, is it a limit? So does your cloak limit your ability to receive from the Father? Is whatever's over your life at the moment, this day, the things that you've spoken over yourself, the things that have been spoken over you, is that limiting your ability to receive from Father God? Is it stopping you from encountering his love this day? That's the question for us to think about. We're going to look more over the next few weeks at how this understanding of the cloak is used in Scripture. I've been doing a Bible study all week on all the mentions of robes and cloaks in the Bible, and it's been fascinating to see what the Scriptures have to say about this. So don't walk in a cloak that's ill-fitting for you. Walk in the cloak of being a child of the Father. In that place of intimacy, you create a storehouse of heaven. You create a space where the treasury of heaven is open to you. In that place of intimacy of being a child of God. Every spiritual blessing is given to us as Christians. You are rich in the gospel. Don't be limited by an ill-fitting cloak. Walk into the robe of righteousness, which restores you back to your inheritance, the inheritance of heaven. When you think of heaven, think of an Amazon storehouse with gifts of God waiting to be dispatched. Let's pray. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that you allow us the ability to be clothed in righteousness because of the cross of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you have made a way for us to know you, to receive your love, and to be shaped by that love. I pray for all of us that we would know that we are a child of the Most High God, who we get to call Daddy, we get to call Father. And in that place of intimacy with you, when we come into covering ourselves in that truth, it creates an intimate storehouse. Gives access into the throne of heaven. It gives access into all the riches of heaven. I pray that we would be rich in the gospel. That we would know that everything is available to us. Lord, let our cloaks this day not limit our ability to receive from you. Amen.